Eso ya me va a costar. Pero también es muy jolly after the lunch. Very nice. Such a great mood of joy. The afternoon, unfortunately, the shepherd in Russia wanted to give all of us to start. Very good. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we have first session. We've had a very good session. We now go on to the next issue that the portfolio committee has raised. This has to do with beneficiary administration issues and beneficiary communication issues. My mother will now take us through her presentation. It's a fairly lengthy one, and we can go into that stuff. If you look at your lovely orange bag, Tammy may have made available a lot of. Maybe that's one of the reject ones
She went for, she was here for the morning session, so she
performances. I have I wasn't able to bring enough for every member, but I've given that set that hopefully can be borrowed around, and if people would like to see that, or if there are requests, we can also see if we can provide them more copies. We also have produced a comic book which talks to the about 10 different areas of housekeeping education that we thought were relevant for the knowledge of our beneficiaries. We have been involved in bill and door-to-door campaigns. These are the kind of outreach programs which have been felt to be important because they encourage partnerships with communities as well as other welfare stakeholders other than business or the civil society. And door-to-door are important as well because you know, they're able to go and speak to people in their own homes around issues of housing and human settlement development and the challenges of those are. With regard to the content of this drama that we did, it had six primary areas which are listed in the slide here. It talks about the processes, what actors, who qualifies, the roles of the principals of government, institutions, plus the beneficiaries themselves, because often the beneficiaries receive their homes and then they forget that they actually have a role to play in this whole equation. Also, it is important, because it was important for people to understand the processes towards acquiring and how independence of government, using the state agents, and how to go about the financing issues and contract issues. The issue of enhancing the assets that you're given as a startup, it does not have to remain as it is. If you have the means, you can make it more than what you're given. And lastly, around foreign corruption. Trying to raise awareness, trying to make community partners in dealing with the border corruption. This is just a photo collage of the kind of project that happened around this. You can even see that in terms of the numbers of audiences and the animation that you get out of audiences when you talk to them at their own level. The benefits of the campaign that we have within the demand. We, from the research that has been done in the department, it shows that 64% of the general public are actually beneficial in terms of housing and human settlement needs. Or even they have not received a house or a subsidy, but they are actually potential beneficiaries. And in terms of broadcast and in terms of theater, can I just say that where I have not seen the break, I've just made some editorial changes, but it does not really change the actual content of the presentation that you have. So in terms of broadcasting industrial theater, these are vehicles of communication that provide access to net audiences that you cannot get when you do door-to-door or you do house doors, or you just hand out a leaflet and ask people to read for themselves. In this way, you get a passive audience who actually listens to what you're saying. We from the figures that we have of the AR for the various radio stations, we know that the numbers of audiences have varied from 523,000 right to 6.2 million. 6.2 million being Ukhozi FM in particular, it seems to be the most highly listened to radio station. And with community radio, they vary right down from 74,000 to 39,000 per day. In that whole theater, we've been able to attract audiences as large as 5,000 people at a time. With this stadium, we've been all of the regional open spaces. Also, the benefit of this kind of direct communication is that you actually use the local languages and you use them in friendly, user-friendly format that people are able to identify with. Continuing the benefits, we have also noted that there is improved program support from institutions. The institutions were partners in the roadshows that were rolled out in terms of exhibiting and being able to interact with communities and talk to them about their mandates and how it is that they enhance housing delivery. This is also an important factor that we don't just go out there and start talking to beneficiaries. Without first communicating what we are doing in-house to our own staff members, We know that there are staff members in the department who may not have received their houses yet. There are some who possibly may not understand all the processes. And this kind of outreach within the department also made a positive difference. We also found that the effort did not just reach your beneficiary audience, but that at the local level, when you have, political leaders, whether they be councillors, mayors, and so on, they attended the session, and from what we were able to gather from them, and in the comments that are made in the DVDs, that you know, they also learned a great deal, you know, understood some of the things better than they can. This kind of communication also enables universal messaging of delivery processes, challenges, roles, and community participation. You don't have to try and tell the same story in 20 different ways. You have one message and you communicate to audiences across the country, and people begin to understand it in a universal manner that it needs to be understood. And then at the local level, municipalities or provinces are free to relate the universal message to their own constituencies, and they were encouraged to do so. Another element of the multimedia campaign, recent and current, has been the billboard investment, well, the 2.8 million and the million house delivery advertisement was done, there was billboard, there was food posters, taxi adverts, bus stops, and 10-seconders on TV, SMSs, and MMSs. All of these were net media outreach efforts. And I think we can all appreciate, you know, if a taxi travels from Johannesburg to Durban, how many people might be on the way and how many people might become more aware of what is happening out there. The multimedia campaign primary purpose in terms of messaging was to try to instill a sense of hope that even though processes around delivery of housing can be very wrong, it is possible in the end it will happen for the people who are looking for housing. It may not happen tomorrow, but it will happen. Also to communicate around how to register or how to apply for a house and shortly the fraud and corruption. This is also just a social collage of the different kinds of media that we used at the time. We also have a number of publications within the department. Currently, we have a magazine which comes out on a quarterly basis, which really aims to explain to a much broader audience what developments there are within the department, within the sector, and in terms of the institutions being encouraged to make contributions. And hopefully, we'll get the paper or even get feedback. We have a number of beneficial publications, the housing subsidies and housing contract, or the human settlement subsidies, contract, economic opportunities, and the scholarship pamphlet. All of these publications are translated into the 11 official languages. It has taken some time after the change of the name of the department for us to also change all of the content and start to talk to us as the method of human settlement, but we are getting there and some of them are already out. In terms of new publications that are being developed, we are doing a publication on the issue of fraud and corruption. The PNG document is a document that was existed but has not been packaged in a manner that we give away to the public, but it is now available in PDF format. And we are also putting it into an actual publication. The housing code, the right housing code as well, is open in production, but it is also available in CD format. Distribution of all of our materials is done through direct mail or through government offices, including the GTS supervisors, and even the GTS center here in Parliament, receiving material from us. and you know, we distribute to libraries and other institutions that show interest or suppress that they use the material. Again, that's the whole collab of some of the material that we currently have. It's not complete. We'll update this and go on. And for the year of 2009 and 2010, the multimedia campaign that is proposed will focus on genetic health, human settlement messages. It will try to use social marketing platforms other than, you know, what we know. We know that almost everybody is adopted with a cell phone, and it's an opportunity for us to talk to them, maybe through the instruments that follow the seminar and to see how to meet us now on the brand. Our campaign also aims for cost effectiveness to also develop sustainable in terms of the messages and the data that we use, and to reach beneficiaries in places and formats that are most accessible to them. We have, you know, listed a number of genetic messages which we feel need to be covered in whatever campaign we want to develop. And we are listed there in terms of knowing the processes, knowing the different subsidies, understanding that you only qualify for health one, the value of your health in terms of adding assets to yourself as an individual, limitations that there are on what you can or cannot do with that health, just in terms of selling it, the need for people to take care of the assets that they're given, to also adhere to the living issues around the need for charges, making a partner in supporting issues of fraud and corruption, and also making them aware of how they can access the call center or the link to the presidential hotline as well. In the packages that we gave you, we also included a report, the latest report, on the kind of calls and strategies as a department around the issues and the resolution of those calls or inquiries. The media-based vehicle, the panel that I proposed for distributing this campaign, those that we think, as I said in the previous slide, that they will reach people where they are. The first one is a commuter-less vehicle. Commuter-less vehicles can be seen as, for instance, railway line stations, bus rents, taxi rents, and they have the different kinds of vehicles that you would need to do that. There's the visual, there's for platform TV, there's for radio, FM radio on the train. And also they provide opportunities for more interactive communication where you can do better education at the station. You know, you can put up your people there, friends there, and have people sitting there dealing with public requirements or checking their feedback with the interface and so on. There are also opportunities for doing insert and various publications. We have participated in a number of exhibitions that where you're able to reach a wide section of society, whether they be, you know, retail type exhibitions or they are more sector specific exhibitions. Editorial is another opportunity as and when it is needed in terms of some of the new programs that come up and need to be communicated more widely from the department. I talked to the issue of the corporate of initiative publication. Out of the box solutions, there is e-government these days, using cell phones and web technology. There are outdoor site sports, in particular here we're seeing where there are developments that are taking place, where government is building houses for people. Maybe it is important to actually give people an idea of what is happening there, what is being built, how long might it take, what kind of mixed housing do we have there. There are also for other vehicles like storyline integration, where you can actually have a storyline running in a popular topic, for instance, talking to issues of how to access housing, so that people actually appreciate it more than they like. And there are also interactive campaigns which are proposed, and there are the individual or group activities that are facilitated by the CDIS. There is also the opportunity to use the public interaction platform that we have via the call center. And there are bills where people can actually participate in making a difference in their own communities. And also we are looking at reporting how many human settlement messages could report them to then play them back onto the internet, TV and radio platforms. In conclusion, I would say that the activities that have been outlined in this presentation are in line of our come out of the approved annual strategic plan. And the department is in the process of finalizing the 5-year communication framework, which is kind of supervised by the CCIS and needs to be aligned at provincial level as well. We have a first draft of the document, and it's something that has been taken forward now. These activities that I have talked to here, they are designed to roll out over a short or medium term period, and they can be updated in terms of needs, whether it is of risk or of messages, as they unfold. And they are aligned to the national public liaison strategy as well. And that's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So that's very comprehensive. Yes, I think there are a lot of questions. Thank you very much for that. May I then open the presentation to the floor? Questions of clarity, first of all?
Just before we
suggest
to me, maybe to start on this one, which I think is the first.
Would you like to do that for me, please? Well, I think that we're going to need questions for capture, first of all. And that might be your first question for capture. You want to clarify what it is that you have in that particular piece of documentation. So may we just ask somebody to prepare for that. Ma'am?
Because only one copy here, we don't have the other one.
Which one? Now, there are different copies. What don't you have, man? Which one do you have? Oh, you don't have this one. And you maybe have another one. Does everybody have two presentations? Which one don't you have?
I would
want to be careful. Oh, you have the one with the prime chart. Oh, and we are. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Check for that. In the absence of those copies, are there any other questions for clarity that you might want to raise at this stage? And then we can go into detail. No questions for clarity? The name is Sandra, if you please like to go to that document. Were you able to locate any more of these?
Yes,
Greta Spani. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. The explanation for the is simply that as we receive calls with the call center that we have set up in the department, they are noted in terms of what the inquiry is and how long it takes to resolve the issue. Also in terms of some of them may not even originate directly from a call, a first call in the department. They might come via the presidential hotline and then they are dealt with in the department.
So, if you go to the first one, if it will show you, for instance, who the call center agent who is dealing with that issue is as well, and how many calls that person has handled during that month. In terms of the second one, I think the second one is possibly a mistake because it's a repeat of the first one in my opinion. And then in the one that paper says 205, this is the count of query type. So you can see that the application paper, for instance, they had 508 inquiries for interruption, 48 general inquiries, 211 and so on. And it also tells you how these inquiries are received, whether it's by email or walk-in. Walk-ins, we have a customer client desk, client inquiry desk in the department coming to the front door. And that is also quite widely used. You can also see in that pie chart that the number of inquiries received via the residential hotline was quite high. It looks like that it's the highest number among all of them. We collect a lot of data from the people who call in. You can see that it will tell you whether the inquirer is employed or unemployed. That is on page 3 or 5. Age, count of status, whether they are reaching customer reply or whether the net has been closed. It gives you sort of a picture of the inquiry levels and what types they are and the time that it takes to resolve them.
Can I see the request to the chat, please?
Just on the today, this time short one, if I could just ask, I'm not sure if we care where the offices are. Is this just with the department, or is it in the municipality, or where is that?
Thank you. I'm referring to page 4 and then 5, the extreme right hand column, count of status. On this page, it shows open date, and if I go to 5, it says awaiting customer reply 1 and it's closed 1727. I'm not sure. I want clarity there. What is the difference between the open and the waiting for customer demand?
Thank you.
I would like to know where the department is paid for the consultant who would be brought to the business. The system will give to me that we have passed the time of the contract and to go to the government. That's what I'm going to do.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
you.
If maybe that's only the thing that we have, that we are not informing you.
on page 4 and 5 of document, it reflects that you have walked in, the walk-in and the number there, 186. I just want to know if you have this walk-in in all the provinces, or maybe in the department offices only.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, I'll start with the first question and the last one. The call center is located in the National Department of Human Development. So we have call center agents within the department who are taking calls from people from across the country who want to ask questions about whether it's how to access a house or their own status, if they have already applied. And the way that the questions would be dealt with is, I mean, if somebody says they've already applied and they need a response to their own status, then the call center agent will take it up to the relevant province or relevant municipality until they exhaust the inquiry to the point where they're able to give that person useful information that tells them what their own situation is. So, no, it's not a provincial one. Definitely within the department. The question that was asked, I'm saying, are waiting for a reply rather than open inquiry. The open one is just if a question has been received and it has not yet been resolved, then it remains open until it is resolved. And once it is resolved, it will be a closed inquiry. And they are waiting for customer replies. But often we get people who will call in and say, I applied for a house maybe in 1996 in Johannesburg, and I haven't yet received a response. So then you have to ask that person a number of questions about their application. When did you apply? Do you have a reference number? You know, whatever information. And then they need to come back to you to give you that information. But if they're not able to call back, there is also the leeway for the call center agent to make an appointment with that person today, and I'll call you back in 12 hours. Then I can follow up with you, can give you that information that is outstanding. And I say this because I myself have also found myself talking to beneficiaries who they have applied and I haven't received anything. Then when you ask them the questions about the application, they don't actually have it on the spot.
Also, I don't mind if you assume that the lady is not full time. see that especially for people to be sure that it is composed of people who are experts in the system. I don't think this also actually true. They have a document, it's transparent, it's okay, and people can also be able to say that Mr. Say he doesn't really qualify to be there, but for the house of it. For the house of it is someone. I do think that I'm not sure how to handle this, but it's one thing that always creates some issue. And then first of all, the school going to the list and then the school there, and school. I think it's something for me that I think the department should handle. So wherever it's the process, I think the local authority must be assisted. I don't think this thing should be very interesting, but surely this should benefit ordinary people.
Over the nine provinces, to raise your 22 million. The
previous administration said only 5.5 million was spent on this particular part of the advertising. In the presentation today, we now see that 90 performances have been done. So my question is, has it 22 or 5.5 million they gone up substantially? And I think Jefferson is to be the list of these, I didn't put this question there. That we've seen this whole communication team yesterday, which reinforces the answer to my question. And I can't help but ask why 20 million was budgeted for and 60 million was ultimately spent. Then I have some information about the staff performance. We talked generally about beneficiaries, and as I was noting a question, the presenter actually answered the question and said there's also potential beneficiaries. But we often don't know in a community who are potential beneficiaries. They may very well be 90% of them, or they may be in fact 10 or 20%. So I'm a bit worried that some of these messages, however good they are not taken to a very specific audience in which it should be targeted, in general, it's just done for all communities. And then secondly, to the other comment that was made, that it creates hope. Now, you know, if one thing we need to create hope, and if we do this year after year, message after message, then we can have the sort of thing that we currently have where people actually come out and show joy and burn tires, because hope is being created with all these messages. But in the end, result doesn't fulfill the hope. So I'm worried about the type of messages that we're sending out there. And I want to specifically ask, I think somewhere in the indicators, and I may be wrong, 1 million messages a day. Or a month, I'm not sure. A million testimonies a day. What sort of message are we sending every day to a million people? Are we telling them that you want to help you work in this? Are we telling them that you know you work in a house in the next year or 5 years or 10 years? What exactly are we doing? Is it conducive to what this department is doing? Or are we creating forces? The issue that perhaps I'm going to take up for the department separately, and I have in the past, and I think I'm going to do it more vigorously next year, is this question, and I think we need exercising it, we're putting out a lot of expenses. We claim that we deliver 2.6 million offers. Now, I challenge the department to prove to this committee that they've actually done that. Because I've questioned it in the past, I've never had an answer. For example, in the last two annual reports, the department doesn't indicate the number of houses that have been built in them. Why is it now being there for? Has it taken into account, for example, the houses that have not been completed? Are they being counted? I've asked that before, I can't get a clear answer. And I must say, I'm giving notice to the department, I'm going to pursue this particular question very vigorously. Because I don't believe that we've provided 2.8 million houses. We've seen a number of houses that have been in. Surely they will see this, but why they, you know, so beneficiaries haven't benefited. Then I'm also very cautious about the sort of message that we may be sending out there for people how to maintain their homes in southern Africa. It's very good, but I mean, the vast majority of our beneficiaries struggle to maintain their homes, and we know that that's why some of them end up selling. I want you to keep on giving the people the message how to do it, but if they don't have the means to do it, then we actually not utilizing this benefit efficiently. Then lastly, Chairperson, referring to this last presentation, which I asked the question about. I'd like to know the, I presume this is 10 liters per month per quarter, but not the quarter per one of your staff. The four data ages. This is the average per month over a period of a year or 6 months or whatever. Okay, now I'm going to take issue with the department here because on the last question about the only thing open. Because I think the presidential assignment is fixed by far the majority now. We have submitted one among many to the presidential hotline about flares that were found in the proposal in 2000. And we actually put through a query to the presidential hotline. And a couple of weeks ago, we were told, presumably by the department, a and we were told to query it in law. And we thought, oh, it's only been a couple of weeks since we got the query, so we actually did something of vegetable purpose. So we have a look at the list, I guess the answer is on. Now, how can the department then come in and say your query has been resolved? When you check with the field, they don't even understand the query. So this figure, that, I mean, according to this, it indicates that there's only 8 steps open, not 1,767. Which doesn't fit in with the reality of the ground and the way people feel and what you hear from the people. So I'm not sure once again if we get the value for money as far as the four cents is concerned. If I understand the question, I'm also concerned that we must align our messages according to the type of queries. And I see by far the majority is, I don't know what the gentleman is trying to see, but by far the majority is awaiting this demand and the education sector. So I'd like to suggest that our messages must be aligned according to the queries that come in.
Why we're here, to get that kind of guidance as well as to
what are the kinds of symbols she emphasizes, and I give without a list of the kinds of generic messages that we feel need to be emphasized. And if any of you need to be added there, they will be added. The question about the method of maintaining your house, I'm not sure. The thing was saying that people can afford to do that. But I don't think we are asked, people are being asked to do anything that is more than what they are able to do for themselves. Often you see people receiving homes, and there is nothing that is done around the house. You know, it is just that to be suitable. And it's just a matter of taking pride in the assets that you have, and understanding that the only way that you can grow a valuable asset is if you look after it to the best of your ability. The level of debt, in terms of the number of incomplete houses counted as well, I think maybe my colleagues missed a minute to speak to that point. The number of open cases, that is something that I can take back to the department and we can follow up on. What I'm responding to is as we have them from the database. And I think the level of resolution of closure as well is in terms of if something, because the National Department is not actually doing delivery on the ground, we need to then liaise with the colleagues in the provinces and municipalities to understand on their level what is happening or not happening, and putting people in touch, you know, in direct touch with those that are actually going to be involved. So I think it is a resolution from the level of the department to say that we have done all follow-up that needs to be done in order to try to satisfy that. But I hear your point, which says that from your point of view, it has not been resolved because it is an outstanding matter for you, but you, although you don't see what it is that is outstanding in terms of those 8 cases that they have, you don't have the actual detail behind it. That's something that you can take up in terms of the systems to see, you know, how is it working, how is it serving us. The method is in the SMS. These generic messages, similar to the one that I put here, which talk to, you know, making people aware that you cannot sell your home, for instance, within the period of limitation, and if you do, you may not be able to go back onto the list. So there were very straightforward generic messages that said, did you know this and this about housing? At that time, we were talking about housing. The issue of the beneficiary and the potential beneficiaries, and how do we choose the communities that we go into to do this kind of roadshow? The communities are the decisions on where the roadshow will go in the provinces or the municipalities is not a decision that is made at national level on our own. But we form task teams to the provinces and ask the provinces to help us to identify the areas where they think it is most appropriate for these kinds of messages to be disseminated. We even went to the level of going to address counselors in those areas to explain to them what it is that we're trying to do and how we thought it would assist them in that community. The issue of the number of performances, since we answered that initial parliamentary question, we have gone back to look at all the schedules and so on of the number of bookings that were done of the performances. And we also realized that to a level, we responded based on the scheduled performances in phase one and phase two. We did not take into consideration the add-ons that happened over the period of time that we were talking to. I think I've answered the question that I can answer. I'm not sure if the SDG will not add anything to what I've said.
Thank you. some of the things I think there are comments that have certainly, we are looking at an energy account in an energy account. I am avoiding that. However, going forward, in the view of the current situation, economic climate, etc., we are looking to find the most cost effective, efficient, and appropriate way of communicating with our local government. And I think what's critical is to ensure that we have a shortage. But critical is also to find a shortage where we can produce those requirements, while otherwise, not cannot produce. I think we're shopping. I think that's the money that I want to
That's also the amount
certain counselor, other counselors will not be able to know what is going on. So this thing is a transparent process. I think this is necessary to manage it, but they will not have to be because for the benefit of themselves to understand what the people of the area are saying about the services that are in the area. So I think we have to tackle or mitigate the things that the way we wish that we should discuss.
Thank you very much for that, Jefferson. It really, really helps, it really happens, because now we know that by what is being done, the thesis gives us the next step in order to take it to the next level. We've gone about the same way. All right, thank you, sir.
Communication in general. Of course, we have made that communication. There's a lot of information in all of this, at the local level, also at the national level, and at the provincial level. Sometimes I don't know whether people are not very sad now. I'm not sure how to do the system structure, because that's what I was very interested in. And then I have that also the community comments on what we should do there. Not necessarily talking about what we call it, something like those jobs. This is those families, because there are not a matter of thousands of families in mind, they don't. One country, another country, another way that we should be putting the effort to ensure that there's proper coordination and community development. Because when the research happens, the intention of what this other person is doing is to go to the we don't want other people to get a part of. We want to make them their own development, we want to them power. And then I get that communication in another loop code, like an identity loop code, and that other requirements. Another thing in here is to understand the issue that I want to understand. And I do think that if this community development work has their allies in a very creative way, this communication can assist us to do so. For all the years and people that also grew up, there's a large number of people in that is a community of school of people. I think you are working very hard, but I don't think you are utilizing them in the department. But also for some years have come, there's a lot of competition, I think, for communication by department. As a result of that, I think we over communicate with people. And then we over saturate can see many documentation that people are not doing, and some of them are very good documentation, but they don't think they just take to look good in the past. Whatever it is. I do think that you can very encourage this. And then the process all will go through doing things. Because that allows us to assist people to empower them. Well, for that information that we give to them, of course, it's a but the format of it, I think it's important that we do that. And the idea that it's not impossible for the department, generally in their coordination of the year, that to unleash some good potential of people to communicate with the government. Because then we can then power community. I think the administration idea is to how people about this matter, and when you talk about them, they have to come up there to appreciate them. There, I hope I'm not allowed to signal to go to more campaigns.
I'm going to go to
go to one that is about to get here in the Zoom. But I think the department will have this capacity. We must unleash this capacity and know that they are aware and they communicate on this. And then, of course, they know, because they are communicators. Another area that I think we'll discuss as we move on, I think, on the next year, on some of the issues that are raised here. Because I don't think that we do not be also the one with the impact of this to the community. And then sometimes we communicate and communicate again that we must also come to administration. Because of our communication, we are able now to identify that our families, there are 10 families in this area. Who wants to have such a plan? Don't forget that government is one. Mm-hmm. And then when you raise issues about human settlement, some people only will talk to you about human settlement. So we're talking about other issues, social plans, some people's ICs and other issues there. And I think that is the real something that we want to be assisting ourselves to do as government. But I do think that this thing of funding, I think it's very important. And then I get, I think it's a very important problem, and I think the civil service should be assisting us with this. And then still another group to say that the government has paid immediately with civil service. And then I guess that the civil service not do expect what is expected for them, and the government has paid civil service.
Thank you, sir.
I question the wisdom of this, the more I think about it. Because if you look at that, there must be, I don't know, 48 million population, there's a few 30 million itself. It means if we send a million every day, we can reach the entire mobile community within 1 month. And then the next month we do it again. So my question is, do we have central databases? Because some places are targeted beneficiaries. Do we have central databases where, for example, people that we know that refugees are get an estimate about how to maintain their home? So that is very relevant for them. If I'm on the way to this for 10 years and I get an estimate every week telling me how to maintain them, I'm going to get very targeted. So do we have that sort of targeted beneficiaries that we send to the community? The people that we know are on the waiting list get an estimation saying this is a process of registration or something to the effect. So that's my general question. But I think more importantly, we not mean that the money that they need to start meeting the money. Because a very quick calculation tells me that if we pay 20 cents per estimate, that may very well be there. We're spending 200,000 rand a day. There is four subsidized homes that could be built for the money we spend on this taking that. I think we need to start really looking at, again, the outcomes. What are we getting for the money that we spend? Because how many people get the same message back 2 or 3 times a week now, if it just goes out
generally?
I sincerely think that this type of thing particular needs to be reduced. I'm not saying it's not a good thing, but the way we do it.
My question relates to the theatre production, and I don't want to delve the money side. What I do want to know is that, in my experience, these sort of productions come across and are very meaningful to members of the community. And I think what I would like to know is, in assessing this, whether you are feeling that This is the red bar, not for the money that you spend on the salary, you can do that about the country. I think that's part of the opinion that it is. But whether there's value in the theatre production, and then I would also like to know whether the view of what's been going on in the street, is it something that we are going to interest in? And if it is worthwhile, that we, do we look at it again, just perhaps in a restructured way?
Thank you, ma'am. We're going to take one more. Thank you.
Thanks. It's not a question, but maybe we get more to the left, and then maybe one we can give the other. Maybe it's not a question of asking questions. It's also to help each other. If we maybe we can move to the next person, then the next idea, maybe it could be better than the other way. But the right time to support the location of the right, and also the demand for therapy. So that maybe we can get the other way. It's not a question of asking that other way.
No, how to deliver for the quality of the sport. where we have a complicated, and this is a very complicated housing program that deals with a whole range of different issues, processes of people that are beneficiaries need to follow, the ways that things can be done, how waiting lists can be done, or how they manage the whole and how houses can be delivered. It's really a quite complicated process for the average man in the street. And for us looking around the table, we will be in full conflict with a lot of people. And yes, I actually want to say that the communication of these messages to people in whatever way it gets them to understand what needs to be done really has to be undertaken in some way to ensure that the message goes out. And for as long as the message starts going out, it will go through. And hopefully, over a period of time, we may not be able to as much of communication as we are doing now. But we still have a very early day process. Madam Chairperson, would it be in order for us to break the tea quickly? And then if we can come back, we actually half an hour, we're into our tea time already. We should have been back by now. Can I suggest we have 15 minutes, a break of 15 minutes, come back, and then we do the last presentation for today, if that's in order. You want 10 minutes? That is fine. We can be back there and check.
Yes, sir. It would indicate to the register manager that 30% of the 500 names needed must be women, or children, must be aged, or disabled. The disabled is not so easy because we are not voting at this moment in time how this adjusted for the disabled on a general, generic basis. We do specifically to address the specific needs of each individual disabled person. Therefore, your socioeconomic profile is very important so that you can have your house and their needs for the specific needs of the specific categories of disabled persons. One of the important elements of the speaker is that if your name is on the National Need Register, that doesn't make you a subsidy qualifying beneficiary. We've moved away, and you would see that I don't use the word waiting list. Our National Needs Register. You're not waiting for anything, but your need for assistance or a kind of housing opportunity has been recorded. And in terms of the process, it was great to see how we go about in getting to a qualifying beneficiary. What will happen is, in terms of the development, at the house of year completion, the project manager would be confronted by the contractor to tell him, look, 50 houses will be available next month. We need to start allocating. He will then ask the allocation committee to draw the names, and from the meet register, the profile will be created, the names will be drawn, and those people will be invited to submit subsidy application forms. And those forms may not be older than 3 months. And they will then follow through the structured criteria of evaluation. I've indicated to you it only applies to 2 programs, the Integrated Residential Development Program and the upgrading of informal settlements. Now, the upgrading of informal settlements is normally done to specific people, but what we need to do is the first stage of engagement with the informal settlement community and the recording of all the people. Once that the people have been recorded, they will be uploaded into the National Needs Register. And their names will then be drawn from the National Needs Register on the same basis as the general. So everybody's needs will be on the needs register. It will not apply to individual subsidies because an individual applies in his own right for a specific house that's available or a specific opportunity or a site that he is able to purchase, and that person is therefore not on a waiting list or on a needs register necessarily waiting in number 9 or number 1 or number 2. What normally happens at the beginning of a financial year is that the province will advertise in a newspaper that he's got for this financial year 50 or 500 individual subsidies available on a first-come, first-served basis. In regard to related subsidies, just remember that these beneficiaries have received ownership of unimproved service sites pre-1994, and they still need housing consolidation. So they're also not on a waiting list at any municipality, would I might apply then to a project specifically in Transforming. The cyber class in the people that are referred as people, and like normally what happens in a people's process that are referred as team is that the beneficiaries will assemble themselves into a group of people with a need, and they will appoint a service provider to assist them, support organization, and they will specifically participate in a specific area for themselves. And then obviously rental housing, social housing, CRUs, we don't have to draw these names because they are not going to get individual ownership necessarily. In the rental housing, so they may apply, they may be on the waiting list, but you're not going to draw their names from the need to register for rental housing purposes, but people will be able to convert to ownership after a while. Just defining to present the structured process as architecture that we have introduced. There's a notion of an allocation committee that will oversee at local project level the evaluation and the recommendation stage and scrutiny and checking of applications. Then the provincial department of human settlements or housing, some of them are still called, will play a role. The municipality will play an active role. The national department, the custodian of the national need register, project manager, and then where needed. External auditors, where applicable and feasible, and where it's wise. If you look at the allocation committee, at a minimum, it must have membership, two members of the office of the city manager, two members of the provincial housing department, or provincial human settlement department, and may not include any political office there. Yes, the allocation process. When housing opportunities comes available, the municipality will determine the selection of criteria to apply to specific project, religion, the priority status, etc. It will test the province then to obtain a list of potential benefits from the national interest that have been the specific state requirements and priority profiles. Once the seat, the allocation committee will verify the list against the assessed criteria. And they will then hand the list over to the project manager to contact the people on the list to make application. Now he may specifically contact them or put up the list at the public offices and invite the people then to come forward. The project manager will assist these people with the application process, help them collect all the supporting documentation, selection of sites, selection of house types and how this will get it. Then all the documents, as I indicated, may not be uploaded in 3 months, so we want the most recent information available on the documents. The application shall be received via the project manager will then go to the application committee, will verify the names against the list drawn, the qualification criteria, and then would send it through to the province for processing, checking against the national housing subsidy database, or the other database, and then it will be submitted to the ABC for individual subsidy approval, or the decision making authority delegated by the ABC. Once the allocation has been finalized and the ABC has approved the applications, it will be recorded on the National Housing Subsidy Database. The need register will be adjusted accordingly. The conditional agreement entered into with the beneficiaries, which happens at the house of stand selections phase, will then be converted into a formal agreement. Transfer of the property will proceed in the name of the beneficiary, and then, as I've indicated, the need register will be adjusted. And that's in short what the allocation process would entail. Thank you, Madam Program Director, for giving the time questions to the audience.
Thank you. Do you mind if we take the next presentation linked, one goes one at a time? All right, then we change one, two, three, four, and then five. Yeah? Let me start with you.
I've been sitting there, now I'm taking the practice now. Because where the problem starts. We have been talking about several challenges that have been attended in the human settlement. If we don't know this one, I'm telling you, we will come here, even next time they will come, the others will come. It will never be wrong. And that is why we will present this question. Because, as the Supreme Committee, our interest is there. This thing must be resolved. Once and for all, I'm sure we'll be able to breathe. That is why. First of all, I'm interested in coordination of the national health regulation. Now we have to make sure that we align ourselves with the health now. So you are suggesting that you are speaking out the national health data. So, the problem starts in the community, at the local level. I think in our policy, we are the custodians of the housing, human settlement development. We must not decide that. Let's not run away from that. What are we saying? What the processes should be followed by who? And if those processes are not followed, what is going to be done? Let's not start here. Let's start there. From the ground. The first thing happened. We come to the allocation committee. On that allocation committee. How dare you leave out the council? We are not saying the council, because if it's a committee, the councillor, if my area, I don't want councillor there, I have to participate. So because not to say I'm going to just want to take the front line. I don't think it's why to exclude me. I am accountable for the community today. I have been elected, I'm responsible. I'm accountable for that community. There are no officials who are accountable for that community. So, I think we have to look at that side. How are we going to make sure that it is not abused by political people? But if it's a committee, I don't think they will have that opportunity. Because we are here to talk and speak before the officers. The officers themselves, they are living within the community. They are accused, not choosing their girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. So there's no reason why certain rules don't approve. So let's not say the politicians that are getting still appointed on them. Everyone, there's a singer that is pointed to someone. So let's look at that. And then the second point is the very serious thing. And then that's the allocation committee. We tell ourselves we are so civilized, we forget about the structure, local structure. We have everything we are taking to us as the government. There are political organizations, we don't need them then. But we do have local structure. We labor, we have to practice people who want housing there. This is the labor people, this is the workers. There are some things that have to be considered. I'm not saying it's labor, but we have to look at other factors. That's why we need to have a thousand followers, not just some of the officials. Also, then the last issue is around the do we have a percentage that we use? For instance, if you are saying we're going to develop 100 houses here, that means we get the same amount. And then we say we expect so many percentage to be elderly people and what. Because
in other developments where we feel that all people that are young men, beginning from 18 to 20 something, and then the older people, they will come out. So in our criteria, what we do, and we are doing an extensive, well, extensive area. What do we think about those people? That's because the reason why we extend that area is because we found that that area is overcrowded. We bring all new people to that. We don't consider those people who have been wounded and to see that less extent. Because normally, we normally do the odds of that particular area. Then
most
concerned members of my group. That's a well-known fact. You can't run away from it. So if they can be part of the actual allocation committee, then we can have more problems than we had in the past. But in terms of transparency, if they can oversee the process, then I'm more in favor of it. But I certainly cannot agree that they must be part of the allocation of another. If I know Peter, and I don't know, I'm going to promote Peter over here. So this is just my first point. So I guess I misunderstood what the checklist meant, my colleague meant in terms of the transparency. I would be against the full participation in terms of the committee. Because they will override the official anyway. The official commitment to that. Okay, now, here's the more serious matter in terms of. I must admit, I wasn't quite aware that we changed the whole system to the National Housing Needs Committee. And I'm quite amazed at what I've heard this day. Because how do we determine that we've got a backstop, for example, if the people on there have not been approved, they're not approved beneficiaries, their subsidies have not been approved. Anybody can really go on there if they meet certain criteria. Are we then saying that particular, the number on that list, is our backstop? How do we find our backstop if we're working on a list like this, where people after the event apply for the subsidy? Surely this particular list should be the approved potential beneficiary. That is my first question. Then, I'm curious as to how the draw, it almost sounds like a lot of them, the draw of the names, draw the names from the need register. So it's not in any particular order, but it's not, it sounds like a lot of them, quite a lot. So I need more information on this. How do you? The province is formed national, let's assume we need 100 names. And the way it was presented is the draw that takes place based on certain criteria. So it's really just the luck of the draw that is in this case. In addition to all the politicians now being involved in saying, this is the right answer. Then, now we said the strategy will not apply to certain other types, individual subsidies, etc. So, what process applies to this? Because in the same breath, I heard something about first come, first serve, which again, some sort of advertisement that takes place and then whoever comes first gets it. And this goes against the whole in terms of how people are prioritized. Where does it get advertised? You know, people buy me before my study, the day or two before the advertisement goes out, and the first come, first serve. There's a fundamental flaw. I had a question here of institutional architecture, this whole allocation committee. My question was, when is it coming from incorporation? It sounds like it's incorporational thing. And I'm not sure how many provinces or municipalities actually have such a allocation committee at the moment. And then, the one thing I do agree with the chairperson is that, and I think particularly from the office of the city manager, it is generally politicized anyway. The city manager is a political appointee, and I would imagine the people employed in that office would be political appointees. So there's already political leaders here.
That's
not We heard from the union. There's no allocation process. To me, there are many loopholes. Assess, for example, the program manager, we learned about this on our visit as well, will liaise with each applicant. You know, why is it CP there? We know that certain program managers or project managers may, for example, not contact certain people and then say they couldn't get out of it. What guarantees do we have in fact that that project manager contacted all 20 or 30 or 100 people? When there are just too many loopholes, if we leave it up to specific individuals, to actually determine who must get involved. And I thought we learned from this case from the past, because this is exactly what has been happening. We're actually not closing those people.
3.5 to 7 category, people in the above 7 category. We need
I mean, if we want to make first work, let's be honest, then there must be standards. There must be a set aside for somebody to go and buy and go to the bank to get a loan to buy a house. There is no site available that I know of from the private sector that costs below 200,000. In Victoria region, they're all 750,000, 500,000 and above. So we're looking at the holistic approach. So the need to register includes everybody. But within that need to register, there are people who qualify for sites, people who qualify for perhaps for rental, and people who qualify for ownership subsidy for free housing. Other people must pay a contribution. The backlog is actually based on the number of households currently in informal settlement, in backyards, and in inadequate housing. And that's why the number is always a little bit flat, either between 2.2 or 2.8, depending on who you are and where what you base your figures on. But it's not an interim distance. I mean, at the second stage, one could say the overall need for housing and housing assistance that stands could be the number of people in the need to register. The chair also raised the issue of if you don't comply, what are the punitive actions now? We have not brought in any punitive actions. I want to confirm that again, if you would allow me, the National Department of Human Settlements is not a community agency. And that is the work, to me, of the Auditor General and the Special Education Unit. We give you the rules, we give you the funding, this is how you should do it. We as national cannot police you in how you do it. Therefore, the composition of the allocation committee is to provincial and to municipal people, so that there's oversight. I mean, if one municipal official is influenced by a politician who wants to manipulate, in terms of the composition, there must always be four people, a quorum is four, there must be a chairperson, and a deputy chair from the municipality, the deputy chair from the province, there's checks and balances. That person must not allow the provincial action to take it. But we have not written any punitive actions because we have no control to that effect. Not the Housing Act, not any of the policy providers will be afforded to investigate. We can ask the Auditor General and we can pay for that investigation to do specific investigations. But that's where our authority stops. We've also written the document in such a way that the municipality can decide on the percentages then. That's what the percentages we're not prescriptive. Every area is different, every area is for its own need. The quality cannot give you the percentages of somebody who wants something that I want to say. I think I've addressed the issue, the drawdown of the names is not, it's not a lot of it. It's done on the profile and the area, the names are drawn and nobody uses his plate. There's not one of them in the area to remain in your position and you will be then contacted from the next one. The involvement of the project manager is to assist the project manager, the independent person or institution that's appointed by the municipality or the province depending on whether it is. We assume that he would be unbiased. But part of the process, after the list was drawn, letters can go out from the province or the municipality. You could ask your project manager to write the letters, you sign it. I mean, it's an extension of the province or the municipality. The project manager is nothing else. Then an extension to assist with day-to-day operations and supervising. And if you just say that, that's why all our projects fail today, to most of them, would be that nothing is needed project management. And if they were project management, they should be taken to task because they just don't do their job. An advertisement could be placed in a local newspaper, his name can be put up at the library, at the community hall. So the people should know. And we must try our best to prove that we're trying to contact everybody on the list before we say it. And look, you're not straight from the waiting list, but you lose your turn if you don't react on this. Sorry, ma'am?
Because
if you say I'm
unhelpful, we are not
going
to
to the lead register, shall we have operational advice beyond the lead two projects. Am I right on that? And I hear what you say. There's certain extent you can manage the business side because the municipality is really dedicated and so on. But we hope that in terms of the process we can do that.
I think that would be an issue to do. But I do think that it is hard for those businesses to behave. Let me tell you that from the government perspective, we have a policy that on the food budget in support the construction of the other state, completed their more effective financial so far. Chairperson, I want to give you the contact number of the committee. Like we did with the poll, both the poll process we came for a workshop with the committee. There were seven inputs and issues that we have not accommodated for the government. We built a second in that poll. When we presented the poll, that was in May, June this year. No, yeah. And those issues were now, and there were lots of no points of concern. We take the same test of capacity because we are looking at the point, and to the extent that it is not a pending issue of the stakeholders and what is required. With input that we get, do a proper analysis and make sure that. So from the project perspective, check your input, we will carefully consider them and make sure that they are taken. But there are the issues of principles that we need to address. And I think that is why we have a conversation about philosophical approaches or I want to approach on when it came to political approaches. Let me use the word we have to find the middle way and find a way to do that. But I think from midnight and I would think that with the current minister as well, the first issue was how do you create a kind of authority in the manner in which you do that. I think initially we did not have a national policy on managing of beneficiaries. We did a lot of work based on our lessons. And you can say, they have this thought come to us because we don't want to be. You have to foresee all sorts of situations that occur in the development space. However, we developed that policy to assist having that. It is no longer a policy without rest. Also, because the policy demands a very high infrastructure, that is what it is. The objective from the net were one, depoliticization of it, because that is what things should come out from the community. All aspects of our issues that have been raised, and we have a matter of saying, like you have. In the MFMA, the PFMA, the exclusion of the understanding that the government structure must be maintained. The political oversight remains, and maybe that the lacuna here in the government, as I indicated just now. What do we want? What political oversight? More what you think might be required. Now, that is precisely not about what manipulation of the information itself. And I think in that regard, it might be proper for us to pause and do a proper consideration of what are the options available to the government. But the issue was that from how we were reporting was that a risk and a problem of public perception. everything, like in the spiritual sense, so what those groups do, come more, create more harm than those groups who do their job. And that is manifestly by the spiritual sense of life. I think we need to do that. The deeper interpretation of that without worrying. That is what the Sampada is fighting for. Because the community knows that the process that can be manipulated, but the process that takes over things that they are only interested in, then they will be taking the right moves that they should. Yes, it is for human beings. And I think because it makes an assumption that in a minute that they are counselors. And I think the assumption they get, which is not specifically communicated, is that that, together with the MSP, is a potential member of the society in the world, are sufficient political numbers. I think that maybe it is that may not be so, and if that is not so, what would be the appropriate political oversight? Because it must be many things. What has happened in heaven is where faith and knowledge is not manipulated by any other. I'm assuming the honest one, not both in terms of even the official, but I mean, in fact, may have also gotten I think if we can talk to deal with that, so that we can get a very clear view of the community, what is. Then I move to the next part, which comes to the issue of transparency. Because transparency is not recruitment. And in fact, it is not accepted. And in fact, we will be able to do this as well as we can do this. But the design of the system is that. And the factor of how long it's been in the relationship is. We had included the law validity issue, we applied to constitutional rights of funding, because you can't actually fight about constitution or constitutional rights, are considered to be arbitrary discrimination. The fact is that what we do. You may not discriminate. Unless you go and tamper with that having land 15 years down the line and change that constitution. I would hope the House would have and continue to serve our wisdom of changing the constitution. Sometimes it's not so. But I think let's look at this. We'll provide us the one to be the for considering at a local level. The issue of political oversight in the country being compromised. It is what is appropriate to make that because we can amend them any time to ensure that it is relevant and it addresses the issue. Then, I am hungry.
Today I'm your boss. Thank you very much. No, there was a lady. There was a lady.
No, this is fine. This is fine.
The lady is fine. And then this gentleman.
Well,
then it's important.
Positive
discrimination. You see, there is a process. The principle is that there is an order. We were taught to count one, two, three, four.
Thank you. Another big question that was raised.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think Mr. Dabanti has covered some of my concerns, because during our oversight in the Eastern Cape, most of the people were complaining about these beneficiaries. That most of the people who are getting houses are not from their province. So it means that they don't benefit. I concur with Ms. Bowman that transparency can be the solution in this problem. We have to do something. That is, the list must be advertised properly to the community. They must know what is the list, the names there. They must be advertised properly. Then, I think leaving out councillors, I cannot say it's a mistake, but councillors are the link between the masses and the government. The other thing, you make mention of the priority criteria, of which is very good, because we need the aged and disabled, women, headed households with children to have houses. The only problem is that how are you going to monitor this process to be followed properly? Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Chairperson, thank you. Mine is just a short question for being covered by some of the speakers. The question is about disabled, which was different disabled people, which once was called by members of the hearing. That if they go to one of these government offices, nobody understands them. Now, I would like to propose that if we talk about disabled, there must be an office where they can manage to communicate to them, especially the deaf ones. They are being abused when they come to the office. Nobody understands them, they can't be helped.
That's why I distinguish on tour.
more like a physical, just like it is as a physical. Just like show as a physical. And because otherwise you would choose and teach in future which one is one, which one is not. I don't think that. The physical is a duty and all of the physical. The fact that they invited to make our info will be welcome. But whether they will take that at the end of the day or not is a separate matter. I think what we need to do, how to ensure as a community to ensure that whatever policy we could implement that will be completely implemented in a manner. And then I'm just saying the principle, and also I think I've joined it. I had the issue of the legal court. First, I think there is policy system. I don't think that is anything for that. It's not legal at all. Taking female issue, taking a woman head as female is not discrimination. And then we made it too many as a female of an amendment, but there's a policy system which I don't have any objection at all. It is a non-legal. There will be also sharp headed feminists. And then I have to say, you know, a lot of sharp headed feminists. That also could be accommodated somewhere. But I think the challenge issue is not that a single issue. There are made of a vessel, not a woman. But of course, there are the proposals to become more handsome. And therefore, that. Seeing a parent issue, I think it's a matter that one way or another, I think you should look at it today. And my mind goes a bit, I just make my proposal, I think the panel gave a very good set of answers on policy. But I think they will appreciate the process of enriching their thinking on some of the policy. That's not the point of the policy. If I come to enrich the policy making such a very good system, I think I will accept that. That because we are giving this privilege, we might also try our efforts to influence the leadership of the bank to understand. And then, I don't think there's harm then to have an overseeing committee. And then, I think it would be a very strange situation. In fact, in other words, I reject to say that only politicians that have this competitive group for us. That we remove many of them from the kind of communities that corruption will continue. I think this thing was no identity. We cannot find this big way of working. In fact, that's the wrong way. I know that sometimes South Africa gets carried away by this bad way of saying, it's the wrong thing. I guess that would be a good idea if the council, the World Council in that particular area, and then to be part of the allocation. Because the MEC is there, the city manager for school, and then I think that the council has also responsible for human settlement, whatever they call themselves, but that council has there. I'm saying that it's important to ensure that the citizens are all clear, at least they are part and parcel of this allocation process. You may then take the World Council, whoever is there, the first council has there. Because also there's a lot of dispute anyway. You can say it or not. Local organization must get involved. I can tell you there will be 1,000 local organizations. Therefore, we won't have a criteria to discriminate against others. Therefore, we will be setting ourselves up to pay from the beginning. Therefore, the administration thought that we have to allow the whole thing to be over or be accessible. But I think the real issue is the issue that we are raising here on whatever we do to be transparent. But I think you need the overseeing committee. What council and then some people there, they can work with it. In other areas anyway, there are members who are deployed from parliament, who are deployed in this area. What is the issue the member of parliament was part of the overseeing committee? There's no harm in doing that, because I'm not changing any policy. It's just to ensure that the process is transparent and fair, they certify it. But don't change anything, because allocation is going to be done by the chief. And the team that is what we're doing to do. I think we can really do that. And then it's not that we are hiding. And then we can open this process. If everyone comes there, all man comes there, three, five, or four men. If they're all qualified, they're all qualified. If they don't qualify, they don't qualify. But I do think that to me, that's what we should do. self-control that you don't also control. It's just unlikely what cancer are now that the most unfocused of you. And then not to set them up also. If a woman is not living in a house, tomorrow is organizing a march against the cancer. This cancer is a person who didn't want to give me a house. Therefore, organize must, I think we can set money. That's why you need to take them out from the temporal rotation, but give them some role to play in terms of overseeing that the process is fair and just process. That's what they my husband. Whoever then wants to have it there. Because in other communities, I can tell you, to ask about local organizations, it will take years. Once the football can touch this as well, so the other thing is called, in terms of allocation, so the ones who accommodate the members of the party, you can get more harm to do that. I think all that party is for everything. They have to go. I think it's important to do that. I think it's pretty good that, I think then the team, the administration can then look at our, if you are the shelter, the threat of this month. And then if they are possible to accommodate that from that, it should be accommodated. But I think we are just in one to show that the process is a fair and just process. But also, of course, I think the allocation could be still be flexible sometimes. The situation you can't say is what would happen in 10 years' time. What happens is there's a real disaster, there's a flood. There are houses that are built there. You wouldn't argue they say that there's things to do at that place for a country to put them to the house. I'm just saying that there are a lot of processes that we could have there. Now, we very
she questions if he can help us.
what is wrong. By the time we are collecting or we are coordinating, whatever you can call it, that is. Yes, collecting here and process and this and that and that and that. Who comes to people to tell them that there is a process now? So I'm going to grow up and listen again. Who does that? We need to think of that to reduce that continuity then. When in our policy, when our policy must be created by me, we have to help those people on the ground to even touch themselves. I don't exaggerate. I don't exaggerate. The experience from the ground are not what we are saying yet. There are so many differences. Someone talked about the epileptic committee. I can tell you something together for that one, but sometimes you can. So I think this thing is very complicated. We have to be so much in our mind, and we must try by working to be evolving, and we must ensure that we prove all the loopholes. But let's not just take the shortcut and say, here is it, and it's at the end of the month. It was not one point. People when I go to bed, they will need a counselor, they will need a therapy to be done. We will not go to be done. So the bottom of our topic box. Thank you.
area A and have had an opportunity there and is moving to area B and now wants to create a minister again. There are so many considerations. So I'm saying for me, those are the issues that we need to look at carefully and agree upfront on those types of things, so that everybody knows that if I'm not the left one, it's because I don't qualify for X, Y, Z. Now, the issue of politicians and non-politicians, for me, this is neither here nor there. I agree with the view that when it comes to corruption, some politicians are more corrupt than officials, or officials are more corrupt than politicians. If they are corrupt, they are all corrupt, but they are human beings. They all are susceptible to corruption. They may or may not be corrupted depending on the individual. However, the role of the politician is not to implement policy, it's to formulate policy. The role of implementation is that of the employee, the civil servant. And we must again differentiate these roles. We must not constrain the role of the implementer, because the role of the politician is to monitor the implementation of his or her own policy. Now, if he becomes an implementer, who then checks if the politician makes a mistake? So you can't say the politician is the formulator of the policy, the implementer, and the generator of that policy. It will be wrong. So my view is that, yes, the politician will be definitely involved in all of the development of the policy, the criteria for selection, and ensuring that the people, the right people, get the houses, the beneficiaries, but the official employees to carry out that function must be monitored by the politician. That is my view. And I don't think you can change that, because if you do anything less than that, you are creating a problem. When the politician makes a mistake, it's like we can't become an implementing agent and we have come and monitoring and evaluating at the same time. That's what you're finding in the school right now. These are not ones to be instructed by the instructors, and therefore they don't teach you. No, you can hear it. Because they are members of trade unions, and therefore the trade union has resulted in trade union if they are evaluated by the instructor and change the instructor away. What happens to the child? The child is suffering. You can't do it.
Thank you very much, Professor. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Louis, please, shall we do that?
Even this is not an idea. They will
said, I think it was the one thing to have. And always, always, you know, to put the two presentations at the same time. Also, when I was in time. The mechanics of intelligence in the boiler. Therefore, if the policy is likely to be enhanced in the general election, those mechanics can be enhanced.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that. In that case, since we're already at 5 o'clock, can I suggest, if I am considered the wise today, that we take the divine down to base, certainly in the morning? That means, will that be important to us? Will that be important? I'm seeing a big disagreement from the presenter.
I think
very important. And very important thing that I've seen today here is a matter of buying. We have buying at this level, and we build that buying up to the ground level. And how do we do that? Through awareness building and those lists that we publish in some sort of way, definitely we're going to focus on something. What I also see, there's an urgency on commitment here. Although it is a challenge for us, and there's a couple of many things, but there's a real urgency, and this is beautiful. Thank you very much for that. Something to say to come for us to run certain processes. You know, we tested at some stage the Eastern Cape. I mentioned it at some stage here, you will remember. For us just to go and register the Western, but the Eastern Cape was, I think, 23 million. That we'll be talking here 5 years ago. That is a lot of money. So we need to find other mechanisms of making it affordable to look at the cost effective way of doing it. Maybe it might take us a little bit longer over a period of time, but yes, that is maybe one of the things we need to consider. Obviously, human resources are this is the existing way that Louis has indicated it to start with identity and educational beneficiary, but I heard very clearly. How did you do that? Where does it start? What is the point of reference? How do you create that? So that sensitivity that we need to create, that awareness building, either by radio or by a list that we publish or whatever, that is the sort of stuff that we need to start to build into our process. Our policy can maybe at a high level say that we will do that, but building into that then strategy and building in the ideas around how do we achieve those processes. From the screen, definitely, the selection of the options, a number of those things. And all these areas, there's a number of gaps, and I, just on a basic level, some of the gaps is the identification of the definitions, the way that it is, the administration process, the selection of criteria. One of the things that was mentioned is the missing beneficiaries. How do you manage that? Who goes into that position? If I want to move from this place to another place, so what the portfolio committee is bringing to the table is that reality, and we really appreciate that, to go and try and find answers to that. How do we build the rules? Unfortunately, one of the things that happened is that there was a demand database before there was a policy. So we've gone and built a mechanism before there was a policy. Now we have to go and rework that. We've got to do this policy right. We have to bring in these ideas and those. These ideas will make us work with the provinces and at local level. Some of the gaps, the process to register names, and maybe it's not necessary to go into the detail of this chair program director, maybe not, but you have it in your facts, and it might be useful maybe just to ask for it, because this is definitely going to be to change the way that we're going to do business. And where does it start? Is it at that point? And I think that is very important. But I think it's important to say that at a certain point, we need to capture this information onto the register. From the register, then there will be a number of people that will qualify, or they won't qualify. From that point of view, and this has been verified with a number of cross-references with a number of other databases. Once you verify the people, you upload it to the register, it becomes part of your demand database. There's not any more sort of need, it now moves into your demand database. But I would love to hear the way that the committee thinks. I have a graphic that I would like to show, maybe a little bit later, and I can dictate the thing on those ideas. The issue around the allocation committee, what I've heard, and I think this is very valuable, there's a principle. There needs to be a committee. Now, you can call it, Digibus Line always says, I'm going to run it like a street committee, and I never knew how that worked, but every time you would say that, everybody was laughing. So I presume that there is some nuances that I do not know what I'm talking about. But there needs to be some sort of mechanism So maybe the mechanism that we thought about today is not the answer. It needs to be an answer to that. We understand that. But we love the way that it comes in. And what are the structures that are included here, which Louis, and I think it was probably an oversight from my side, the issue around community participation, but obviously the process of selecting those names, Louis have run into that. I think we would like to enhance that, not to dwell on that, because there is sensitivity around it. But I think the matter critical here is a matter of the criteria and how do we apply it. Which criteria must be normed and which criteria can be as an exception and which criteria can be added at the second stage and not to spin it around, that sort of thing, to give that sort of guidance so that people don't go about and say, let's take one of number 10 and one of number 5 and this one. So there needs to be that structured way of selecting them. One of the things that the DG has said that he really wants to see is maybe a way of a point system. We haven't investigated that yet, but it might also be one of the things that we would like to bring back to the committee and see if there is a possibility of considering that. One of the things about accessibility is who can see, who can view, who can draw a report, what can you make it look so forth, which officials can do what, up to what stage, when does it become a sign-off so that the NEC signs off and says, you cannot just do this, you must get my authorization before you can do the next one. And then the issue about the publication of names. The critical matter around that is that we need to be very careful in not playing on the floors or the ground of the PI Act. How do we manage that? Say, for instance, we bring it in as a policy. Can we still divulge information about third parties? Probably not, but there might be another way of doing that. And we have given some sort of idea. He said, what you can do is you publish the register, and then you invite applications against that. Maybe we need to work a little bit more around that to see how we can mount that process. So, I think this is one of the things that is very sensitive to this community heart, and I've heard it many times. It is the matter of when a beneficiary takes ownership of his or her, what is happening after that? How do I know what do I do with it? What is my actual value? How much did it cost the state or the government to give me this? How do I continue with this? How does it work? That is very, very important. And I think beneficiaries can be some sort of support at small at some stage. And we looked at the window where we saw a gap in the window. It was a small thing. So certain all the things that I had to do was just to do a little bit of fussing just for the week. And it's so easy to do that. But maybe people don't necessarily know. And definitely dedicated consumer training. So to put all of those things together, the graphic is very clear by saying that those are the areas that we find in my opinion. System processes. We have that developed the web-based mechanism. The database is centralized. It has been looking to specific user requirements. But what is missing here, and I've seen it today, is the matter that we get the rules that we typically think that we share. What happened when this guy leaves and he wants to go to another project, how do you manage it? Or to another town? I think very critically where we're busy with now is ensure that those linkages between the existing
training guides for the users and those sort of things. Those are the normal things that we usually do along with the HSA, the way that we package. One of the things that I didn't mention in this initiative here is, well, Dave, my unique username and password, so everybody can now be happy to have a unique name and password. I'm just joking, but one of the things that I'm very concerned about is the security around the access. A normal user would just have to log on to check in his service. And who has access to do what? And that sort of mechanism we've seen in the Western case, what it works and what doesn't work. To draw a report is not as easy, and we don't necessarily want everybody to see certain sets of information. It might be just inventory protected. So we need to find a way on doing and making sure we can see how we can do it. Just a graphical illustration of the registration process from the different lists that you have. They will go into a register that will then be verified against the number of data that are making sure that you have all the information. Once you have that, it goes into your demand data. So the moment you have full register, you will go into your demand database. That's where the purchase and the cost estimating happens. And that's where the HSA for your operation system can then link and then draw from the set of data. Chair, I think I previously, in a previous meeting, when we were at, in our, before we came to this meeting, I've given the status of the provinces, and I've indicated where they are, where the Eastern Cape is, and I've given to you in more detail this time. To us, it is very clear that the province does not have the capacity to control this function very well. And I think the challenge, Chair, that you've mentioned at that stage was we must be very careful on who we appoint and how we appoint it. And so that we have a very clear and an official way of making sure that the official processes are clean and not stuck. So we are very, we understand that what you mean to run. And the last comment that I would like to make with regard to the provinces is that they are in different stages. They are at this one is only at the point of thinking about it. The other one is already starting to capture, depending on funding that they have available at that stage. In Mpumalanga, they've only identified three that this could be to proceed. And that actually means they only have money for one, or funding for one. It brings us to the operational part of it. And yes, they log on to a certain site. You have a password to access it. You can start typing in the, so that is what is used right now by the provinces to capture the information into it. You can view a questionnaire, you can print the questionnaire, you can complete that, and you can bring it back. There's various reports that we have completed on the basis, and reports are being delivered as needs identified or as needs identified. And that is just examples of reports. But I think the conclusion, Chair, and I hope the Program Director is happy with my time management. I'm very lucky this time of year. Usually, I think it's because it's Christmas. Usually, I only get 2 minutes to present, but today they gave me 10 minutes. So, we should come no more during Christmas time. I think what is very important is that the process shows that there is a need for political and administrative commitment. And we've seen that today. We really value it. There's also a need for massive investment. We do not think that this is a cheap exercise. Gathering information, really a thing. We've seen in some stages it varies, and this is the reality of it. It varies depending on what you want to do. Between 25 Rand and 50 Rand a questionnaire to get that information. I think that is one of the reasons why, for instance, Nkumalanga tried to do it. A bit of that. It's important to understand the situation with respect to the number of people that really need your assistance and what type of assistance they need. And I think, therefore, the engagement is probably very important. It's very important to ensure that the house is built for a specific household and not a girl. It's one of the things that this is what. The matter of transparency is critical, and therefore there is a need for political direction and for policy to guide the practice and implementation. So we really value the input that we receive from you today. Thank you very much. And any questions that I can make?
Mine is at a comment. Since Mr. Barabas and Mr. Meaning did exchange the document, maybe with the speaker before us now, our concern is being covered, and there will be information like the allocation structure, the allocation committee. But if before you come to us, you have exchanged
need to get a great identified.
then and inviting someone to a woman to question. I'm under the impression that although it may not be in operation, but it's going to come soon, and there's some provinces that are ahead of others. I've looked at many reasons, some provinces are doing their own thing. So again, for the provinces is doing their own thing. Are they sort of following some sort of minimum requirements so we don't get now 10 or 9 different systems being applied across the province? And when we do put this into operation where provinces are not ready, are they going to go ahead on the old system where councillors do need allocation, where officials do need allocation, project managers do need allocation? What checks and balances are we going to put in place where it's not operational? I think that is really okay. The other thing is, presumably again, when people are now being drawn, they've been approved, they've got a house, their name comes off the list. But there may very well be people who is only a need register. There may very well be people on the list that for whatever reason they're not got a job, they don't need a house anymore, but they're not going to go and remove their name. So we always insist with people on there that for whatever reason may not be, they really just any numbers there. So we never need to have a true idea of exactly the need, unless there's some way of taking these people off the list.
I just want to know this meaning that we talk about the changes that the official allocated with authority respect was to send them to the Russia-based administrator. What is this are you talking about? And then secondly, we will also talk about the process that the minister of security. I just want to know what process are going to be done before the beneficiary is inside the house. And then lastly, on your conclusion, I'm quite going to say that the process that the need for a political and administrative commitment to set the process of our country. So we can meet the analysis and how to and limit. Well, I want to analyze it. So we are telling you the how to that we are collecting. Now we put the linear register. Then that register going to be very fast. And then after the registration, now we are going to say now every time we get it, and that's not how we are done. I mean, how we demand that I think is what it is. Yeah. I think my question is very important. How do you get those people? But now, I want to end this. Well, I'm still adamant. Here we are saying adamant for the population. That is very much important. I still insist business people, not salaried and shop, or not business. They are employees. They are starting to get housing.
common thing that happens by act of government. Now, what's wrong with taking that from the business owner? Can that be taken to the authority, which is taken to the family? And then they can tell what to do with something that is concerning that the municipality can receive that list on this type of Saturday. So what we need to do is to what's wrong with labor? Is doing that because those that are capable to do that, my name is not repeated. My name does not come from all of you. So, that is why we have to kind of hear our processes. The moment we strengthen the business, it is easier for us to work on the other side. So, that is the critical step. Then coming to this problem that has been made by the problem on page 11. Maybe what I have wanted to check there. Is this clearly the case? With the system case problem, we can have the service for the provider to do the work for them. Or to do it at local level. Because the rest is all costly. So we need to balance the which way is the best. As the service provider, where the service provider is due to this problem, how much is it cost? For all the three of you, and this is the table for the benefit. Let me stop. Thank you very much. Can we take this round of questions and then we will just tie up with the last two? So that's the important piece. The gentleman will have the last check. Just tie it up.
Thank you very much, Program Director, and thank you very much for the question. I really think it really helped. My apologies again. We have not exchanged documents in mind. But this one was completely clear. That's why I think you need to.
Not anymore before they killed you.
No, thank you very much for being able to do that. The database in respect of the municipality, what is happening in our time? Yes, ma'am, it will happen in our time. It will definitely happen during this time. So the database is happening. At this moment, it's the youth that are capturing into the data. And then one of the questions was, will you capture this one, there's one of the here, and a little bit there. No, there's a standard. There's a standard set of questions that we need to capture. But it doesn't take away. We have allowed the provinces to add one or two or three more questions specifically, because, I mean, not every province has issues about mining. You have to bring in some other questions. You have to allow that. So at this stage, they are capturing. They are starting to use that information. I think what the challenge is to get right is building an extensive mechanism to ensure that the processes are clear, standardized, that there's no missing with it. That is implemented at the lowest level. Because that is where the challenges are. Sitting here with us and identifying those processes, I don't want to say it's easy, it's not difficult, but to get it implemented in a con- in a sustainable way. That becomes the challenge. That's why I said, you know, you need time, you need dedication. With regard to your question on, and I will not ponder every number of words for the comments. To see the certain under rages and nothing else. And you will be able to see more. You'll be able to see what would be the requirement. If you in a specific area, like in the middle of Genesis, you're not going to find a number of people that want their own house laid out in a nice structured way. You probably want people that want to have things. So you'll be able to see that sort of information. Some are doing their own thing. That is true. But what we have done is that we've engaged with these scholars to complicate their ends that have their own systems, and we're linking all of that up with their business. So this system, the national one, is the driving one. The others are TV. The matter of, will there always be people on the list? You don't like letting people out of it. Because what you do get then is that people are trying, you know, they, if they don't see the name anymore, they completely have their name. So what we do is we flag it or draw a line to the record. But the record doesn't disappear. So the record stays. So that you don't get, so that you don't lose that. Otherwise, you get people that try their luck or so you don't want them. Do not let the person count. So the legislature is drawing the list of names. And the people may be allocated. They are approved then for allocation. At that point, that whole mechanism runs through that whole record up to the point where it was started. And that then gets the flag. It doesn't have to be poof, gone. Starting all over again, getting another one. So it stays there. Small documents on that have been delivered, and I know that it all sits with capacity building, but to the extent of what it has been implemented up to the ground level, concretely, we can maybe add that for the next round, to see how far it has come. But I really believe that that is a very critical matter. It must become available, easily accessible, communicated very easily. Thank you very much for having that.
We have three more questions, I think. Can we start with the gentleman?
Define communism, the word communism, or what do you mean by that? community, what do you mean by that?
This is like you use the same rules, you use the same, you use the same, that doesn't when maybe our members put a and put it all public to them.
Another way we can get some of these products,
people, they don't qualify. And if somebody comes to the community, an official, teacher or something, but he is not in the office. And we have to say, you've got a high number, you can check and say, well, instead of an office, then qualify. So it would indicate that they don't qualify.
Thank you very much, Reverend Director. The issue around community. What do I understand around that? And being set up a little bit. I think it's very critical that it is an understanding of where a group of people that share the same values, the same cultural understanding, is forming a group and that it understands that it has a community with a person that needs it. So for me, it is the absolute broad level of a town. It's where a group of people come together, where as necessary play and pray and do the same. I think one of the issues around systems in political matters is very important, and that is what this tribe. We've already gone through the process where we are trying to align what Housing is already doing. We've imported some of their information. There is a mechanism, but it's a technical mechanism. There is a technical pitch. I don't want to mislead or call it a pitch. Housing runs on a different network in terms of government, like in Norfolk. So what we need to do, or what we have done, is to link our mechanism to a very specific small hole there that they opened up for us. Now that is still in process of discussion. That means we're not able to access the information. Yes, there's no way that you cannot. This information is for me. So it is available technically already. For those who need it, I mean, a transfer bar for that matter, you can already go and you can see some of the data that's already there. And you can, what we've tried to do is to make it a little bit easier. You get a big graph of the big area, and you click on it, and you drill down into the information for that area, and you go down into the information for that specific point there. Up to record level. Yes. We need to go to credibility to the list. Yes, absolutely. I think that's what we have to ensure in credibility. Just the last point, I think it's important. And I've answered you mostly while I was in there, so it will tell you about the specific. It doesn't just only tell you the business, you can help tell you today. But there's also other challenges that we need to understand. You know, one of them I've mentioned to you at some stage, we've seen that people have been allocated the health test. And then when we went there, President E wasn't there. And that is a misnomer, that is not acceptable. But that does happen. I think we may be going to have something.
I just want to say that in terms of the question by my side, that you must remember that if a guy bought a house informally, illegally from another beneficiary,
great,
our list will not show him as a beneficiary. So he may have been involved in fraudulent transactions, and we will not figure that out. Because he's not a beneficiary, and his item number will not be there. He will still be on the waiting list for you.
The other thing that we are doing also is we are running out scans and searches of houses with a certain value on the meter register. And we have picked up a number of beyond what we have today. So it also comes together, like, trying to find ways of cross-racism so that we can pick up these moments. The matter of search by the truth, they will get obvious. The moment you have a day to day, and you know what I'm talking about, the moment that you have a record with different fields, you can search, you can build any rapport on the basis of that. That's why it is important at the point where the register is, where I say that you need to, because this is what one of the questions, what does it mean when you're talking about being verified? All of the information that one requires must be included, it must be captured. Because if it is not captured, I can just tell you the list that comes from somewhere, nowhere. It doesn't really matter. So that's the point. So it will take time for people to ensure that all the data is there. But that's a very important step. Thank you very much.
One more question. This house is good, I'm just worried about the fact that at some point you might find that half of your houses are owned by people who don't want to register in the book. And you have a crisis somewhere along the line of verification, because this office is going to have your office. But your real owner signed contract, whatever, the person might have died who was in your office. But the real person who occupied the house is the bigger person. How would you?
The previous ministry has initiated the process, if you remember, that was called the beneficiary audit.
How they occupied this audit?
It has gone some way. There's a number of areas that have been identified. We've picked up the bigger problems in some of the areas. One of the missing links there were, okay, I don't think you're up in this project, but they are busy now searching through other projects and then in that province, but then also through the rest of the country. Because that person might have moved from Kansas City now sitting somewhere in Eastern Texas or something like that. A very interesting study that we've done approximately 2 or 3 years ago, we're looking at when people were registered on the IEC database and where did they have a house, where did they get a house. And now I understand why the whole of the indication gets out. But it's true. There's an incredible move of people from the Eastern Europe to get out. Because that is where they are registered on the IEC, but they have received their house here. And then there's an incredible move between Cape Town and Johannesburg again. There's a small move in Pietersburg or Kwane, Pretoria, and Nelspruit. There's a little bit of a triangle there. But then there is again a big move between Eastern Cape and But what's very interesting to see that movement of that. So it's the reality of what you're talking about. The question is, how are we going to deal with that? You can just burn a certain amount of hours and that sort of thing. But there's some challenges around that. Although we've not yet the answer, what you're probably saying is that we need to start building mechanisms for people to allow people in a formal and maybe informal manner to exchange houses and to get on to the right
level. Something was not legalized.
Yeah.
But I think it's a point that Jesus was making there. Why are we not able to use the religion? Yeah, why do we lock people, poor people? You lock them in such a way that if they have a job in South Bay, they can't move because they are locked in RBC and the, or whatever, the NC house.
Yeah.
They can't move the country and get the same house because they've already got a house.
and everyone fell out within 8 years. So you are actually unlocking people into the poverty problem. So they have some form of facility, you know. But you are saying, well, for the policy party, it has to be unintended for the policy party.
Thank you very much for that, sir. Thank you, Matt. We will need a copy of your presentation. Madam Chairperson, honourable members, we've come to the end of today. We've done what we have intended for today, and for that I want to express our deep gratitude to you. What I would like to do, though, if you could give me 5 minutes, I just want to run through very quickly the highlights of what we're supposed to take it forward. It's not in any particular order, I haven't been to it up, but I'm just trying to capture what it is that we're going to take forward. And from here, I will then share with my colleagues what needs to be put on an agenda for the next portfolio committee interaction with nature for the UN. And I'm going to run through the elements and by this coming out to the people who are getting it today. The first part is what needs to be done to alleviate the provision of more appropriate to locate the choice in the form of settlements, and I think that goes to people who walk through in a minute. Then the assessment of issues regarding the communication of housing programs and beneficiaries. Then we need to look at all the deliverables, and this is a question of parliamentary questions in the number of houses that are delivered. Yeah, that's in the policy that the official statement is approved, where he or she may not be where he or she may not be paid in coverage. And that's the issue I think that the chairperson raised. We need to educate the public. Many CPWs, there are many CPWs in different departments, and we need to look at what their role and responsibilities are in terms of city settlement issues. We need to look at the inclusion of the local leadership and the allocation process. The policy is not specific for special needs, and that needs to be looked at specifically with regard to what members here reform identified. The question of mobile families. Exactly the issue that we've spoken about just now, where people have a subsidized house with mobility. What about creating new issues and economic opportunities? And that issue we need to discuss another time. The question of PHP and the closing down of PHPT and for how this gap has been filled, and we need to come back to you on that one. We would like to include input from the proposed committee into the allocation policy. Question of military appetite, question of the aid and the disabled to be prioritized for housing services, the question of deaf people, and the fact that there must be someone within the organization to be able to communicate with deaf people, and finally, the gap in policy. Is there anything that I might have overlooked that we'd like to add to this list before we finalize?
Yes, ma'am. The list requested by the lady there on the National Housing Program and the qualification criteria for people of each.
There is something in there.
I don't know what you said, sir.
I haven't seen that.
The reason why it's not. Because I've seen something done by communications, I'm not sure whether it's the same article that's included in the document, but I'll be very happy to add to it. And it's interesting that I'm comfortable with that. And I'm like, no, I'm just doing it. Also, maybe we can have that in the same. So the National Housing Policy Program, yes, that's fine. You can add that in. Thank you.
Thank you.
give them the tax time pass, or can they now move on in an interesting effect?
Well, it's not quite the same. The one is where the person is enjoying the benefit already.
I think we'll capture that.
Yes.
There are two. And the one, we'll provide you with a political issue. The question of the rise of a lot of people is that people care now when qualification has the kind of people that is run of the
very useful. You've really given us direction to understand what the committee feels, and we certainly hope to be able to come back to you for further information to the discussion. I believe that by doing this, having a timely discussion, it's really good for both of us so that we understand what your role is when you conduct your own life. So we understand what you are doing. Would you like to start the
No.
We will start.